Hi, thanks for coming. Nice of you. Really nice of you. Hey, you got a couple of minutes? I want to talk to you for like half an hour. You got that much time? Yeah, no, it's not going to hurt. I'm not going to complain and rant and be stupid. Well, I'm not going to complain and rant. I'm just going to look at life as it exists around us and how it doesn't make sense sometimes. So you don't think you're the only one that's living in this world of weirdness. This way we can connect. We can connect the dots together. It's like playing words with friends, only there's no words and there's no friends. It's like that. So I hope you'll indulge me. Just relax. Take your shoes off. Sit a spell. Relax. Sit back. You'll probably fall asleep before this thing is over. I guarantee you, actually. A lot of people use this show when it's bedtime to put themselves to sleep rather quickly. It's better than that Michael Jackson stuff, that puffball, whatever you call that. This is very similar in a sense. You can't respond to me in any way, shape, or form. I'm not Alexa. I'm not going to answer any questions or be bitchy. I just talk and you just listen. And if you get bored, you can go to the bathroom, but come back, please, because you probably missed something fantastic. Probably said something that was amazing and you missed it. So I would suggest you just sit there, shut up for a good 30 minutes and you're going to love this, man. This is. Oh, the only thing you have to do is just be quiet. You can't talk at all. I talk, and you just be quiet.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Okay, sure.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Don't say it too loud. She could turn into a frog. I don't know if that's a proper fairy tale or not. Probably is. How you doing? I've been watching the Olympics. Because I like to watch people torture themselves while I sit on my sofa and eat popcorn. Look at that guy there. He broke his leg there on the ski jump. Yeah, more popcorn for me. Yeah, more popcorn. Look at that ice skater. She fell on her face and now she's bleeding and half of her nose is hanging off of her face. You got the sandwiches ready? We got the sandwiches ready. Give me another beer. I don't like the Winter Olympics because they make me feel cold. I don't like seeing people out in the cold. I always think they need to be rescued because they're stupid. There's no reason in the winter to be out in the cold for such a long period of time. Winter sports are ridiculous. Why would somebody want to go outside when it's 10 degrees, there's snow all over the place? Well, let's go outside. No, that's what the inside was made for. They call it shelter. That's where you go when it's cold and it's snowing. You don't wander out into the snow and the cold. That seems a little stupid. What makes sense is when it's nice outside, like the Summer Olympics, and it's nice bright sunshine, and it's comfortably warm, and you feel like doing stuff. You want to get out of the house. You know, you want to get out into the world and into the weather. That makes sense. The Summer Olympics, they make all the sense in the world. Look, there's somebody running with their shorts on. Isn't that adorable? Get me more popcorn, please. I'm watching somebody run around in their shorts, and it's adorable, please. That makes sense. Running out and playing sports when it's freezing outside makes no sense. So I watch the Winter Olympics just to watch people who train for years and years and years for the one moment that they can't do it right. What a defeating feeling that is. How long have you been training for the Olympics? 8 years. 8 long, hard years, and finally I'm here. Oop, split second, didn't work out. I came in last. Oh, well. 8 years down the tubes. What the hell? What am I going to do? Let's have some fun. Let's play Scrabble or something. No, that's defeating. It's horrible. Don't set yourself up for failure. Unless you're like superhuman, you know, like one of those people that are just superhuman, like the snowboarders, you know, like they flip in the air and stuff. If you can flip in the air, I guess go for it, because I guess a lot of people can't do that. But otherwise, it's kind of stupid. Training all that time for what? For what? So you can put a metal disc around your neck and have people say, oh, you must be very talented. Now what are you going to do for the next 8 years? Well, I'm going to practice for the next one. Yeah, so you're going to lose? What are you talking about, loser? Get a job. Get a job with benefits. Stop the stupid thing with the sports thing. Let's cut it out. Well, Ron, you know, some people really are talented and really should be athletes. Good, whatever. Just whatever. Whatever. So I watch the Olympics. I listen to the commentators a lot because it's their job to fill up space. There's nothing else to talk about. It's like golf. You ever watch commentators on golf? First of all, they can't even talk loud because they think that even though they're not standing right next to the golfers, they whisper anyway, and I don't know why. They're like a mile away in a booth somewhere, yet they talk like they're like the person who's about to take the golf shot is standing right next to them. Peterson is he's about 6 inches away from the hole. We're about 3 miles away from the hole, but we're whispering for no reason whatsoever is what we're doing. I'm getting, he's choosing a putter, which is a smart choice when you're only a couple inches from the hole. And, did you know that his wife, puts out, you know, she puts out, and, he's had an affair with, the wife of the person that runs the golf club, Goldsmith, and, nobody knows it. That's why we're whispering. And this is the way I actually am when I yell at my wife. You know, I can't believe you spent this much money on shoes. We're going bankrupt. We don't have a penny left to our name. So I wish you'd stop doing this, you crazy little bitch. Because we're bankrupt because of your Mel DeMarco's shoe habit. So. That's about it. I'm through screaming now because my throat is getting very sore. I don't understand golf either. Why we have to watch men walk around a large meadow with sticks hitting balls, wearing banana-colored pants. I don't know why that would be. So anyway, so I'm watching the Winter Olympics, and there's one sport that I totally don't understand. And if you do understand it and I don't, perhaps I don't belong on this planet. But I believe when I tell you this, everybody listening to me right now will say, Ron, you're absolutely right. You're just right. You're just absolutely right. It's more proof that you're always absolutely right. Here's what it is. It's a sport and it's called curling. And you would think this would be people sitting in barber chairs with some type of a curling iron, and there it's to see who could get the best curl in their new do. But that's not what curling is, oddly enough. Curling has nothing to do with curling whatsoever. I don't know why they call it curling, because it's not curling at all. There's no curling anywhere in this particular sport. Here's what happens. And there's men's curling and there's women's curling. I don't know if there's animal curling or young child curling or senior curling. I really don't know. And what it is, and I think you've seen this, you just probably don't know what you're looking at. These are grown people usually. And what they do is they detach the hose from the canister of a Hoover vacuum cleaner. One of those little round canister things. Kind of looks like a fat Elvis Roomba. You know, those vacuum cleaners, they're like round and they go through their robots and they go through the house and they vacuum the areas that were already vacuumed, and the ones that weren't vacuumed, they never seem to touch. It's those things. They look like little fat and little potbelly pigs. They're like little Hoover vacuum canisters. And I don't know what they're made of. And they play this on total ice, very, very slick ice. It's amazing that the athletes can even stand up on this ice. As a matter of fact, I think that's the real talent of this particular sport, is standing up on this really slippery ice. And there's one guy, and he looks very serious, like he's about to hurt somebody. There's this one guy, and there's a handle on this canister, a detached vacuum cleaner, and he very seriously takes a hold of this unit. And while he's on his knees, he and this little vacuum canister go sliding along the floor. They're really sliding, like, perfectly. And then he lines it up so that it arrives at the far end. And then very gently he lets go, and the vacuum cleaner canister floats down this ice all by itself. And the guy that just propelled it looks like he's just launched a rocket of some sort. He's so serious, don't even get in his way. And then there are five or six guys, maybe three, I don't know, I can't count. And they have brooms in their hands. I don't know why they bothered detaching the canister from the Hoover when they have got all these guys with brooms. Either you're going to use the vacuum cleaner or you're going to sweep up with the brooms, not both. These guys with the brooms, they start sweeping nothing. There's nothing on this sheet of ice. There's no debris. There are no empty soda cans. There's nothing like that. But they're like crazy. It's like a Mexican cleaning crew. They are just, they're feverishly, they're sweeping the ice. They're brooming it. They're sweeping it. And they do it in front of this canister so that the canister, see, if they sweep hard enough, the canister will go left or right depending on how much you've swept the ice down a little bit. And then the canister arrives in the middle of a dot, and I suppose it's that's consequential to some sort. But I'm thinking, these guys with the brooms, man, I've never seen anybody sweep like that before. They're incredible. So then I'm thinking, I'm going to start a business. Yeah, the Olympic Curling Sweeping Service. They come to your house, they sweep your floor incredibly well. There's three or four or five of these guys. They come in with a broom. They all have brooms, and they sweep your. They just sweep everything really fast. And when they're finished, there's not a speck of dust on the floor anywhere, because they're the Olympic curling team, and nobody sweeps like them. Then there's the women's curling team. Not only do they sweep, but they also wax the floor. Oh, that was sexist. Why don't the men wax the floor? I don't know. It's not my sport. Curling is just weird. Weird. And when you sit in a chair and you watch these people do it, for some reason, you're mesmerized because it's so incredibly stupid looking. There's nothing like it on the planet. Nothing. Nothing. I don't know why. It should be called sweeping, not curling. It's phenomenal. Does it make me want to be part of a curling team?
No.
I don't sweep that intensely. When I sweep, I'm kind of like humming to myself a Pink Floyd song or something like that, or, you know, put a ring on it, something like that. I'm not really, I don't sweep that intensely. I don't know who they choose for the Olympic teams. I don't know how you trained for this. Do you stand in a garage and sweep really hard and somebody comes up to you and says, "My God, you should be on a curling team. I've never seen anybody sweep like that." I mean, how do you aspire? I'm going to the Olympics. That's incredible. You're going to the Olympics. What are you going to do? Is it the ski jump? Do you jump like into the air and twist around? Or is it a javelin throw where you can throw that thing for miles? Or are you part of the USA hockey team? That must be incredible. What do you do in the Olympics? What's your sport? Oh, I sweep. Are you custodian? In a way, but no. What exactly, again, is your talent? I sweep the floor. Just ahead of this free fall Hoover vacuum canister that has been very carefully propelled by my friend Bob. And we sweep in front of the canister to propel it to go in various directions and angles and things like that. I've been training since I was a child for this moment. My house, the floors, you could eat off them. That's how good I am at this. So I'm going to the Olympics. Oh, I see. Well, good for you. Good luck to you. Good for you.
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Well, that's absolutely true. There's no question about that. Do you, Jeff Morrow is going to join us now. He is a chef. That's why he has the title chef in front of it. He also sweeps floors really well. He's going to talk about cooking with kids. Now, I like my kids salted and with a little bit of cumin on them. And then you put them in a large pot and you boil them for about 6 hours and they come out really tender. Oh, wait a minute, cooking with kids, that's not what that means, does it? I misunderstood. It's not Jeff Dahmer, it's Jeff Morrow. Okay, different. Boy, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? As you know, as you may know if you listen to this show, I consider myself a chef. I cook every day. I love cooking. It's my second passion. My first is masturbation. I love to cook. I love it. After washing my hands, of course. So when I have a chef on the program, I get very, 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 very excited. I mean, which lends it to my first hobby. This is disgusting, isn't it? Really, let's move on. There is a chain of restaurants in the area, by the way, that I do love, because I love pasta, man. I love pasta. Oh, I if someone puts pasta in front of me, it's a bottomless bowl of pasta. I just can't stop eating it.
I just love it. Pasta with some spaghetti sauce or something, and then cheese. I mean, I just like, I'll eat it until I'm sick. I'll eat until I can't move. And isn't that impressive? Isn't that impressive? But there's a great pasta special at a restaurant near you, and then we'll speak to Chef Jeff Morrow.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots, thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajor.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very, very well.
Fantastic.
Chef Jeff Morrow joins us now. He's an Emmy-nominated celebrity chef featured on Good Morning America, The Today Show, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, The Steve Harvey Show, Food Network's Chopped, Cupcake Wars.
Wow. And don't forget one regional carpet commercial in the early 2000s. Yeah. So that was my breakout.
I especially like the evening news with Jeff Morrow. I thought that was...
Maybe not. I'm a little too off color for that.
All right.
They can tame this wild horse.
All right. You know, it's the next logical step. Okay.
Yep.
Let's talk about children. You're a chef.
Yeah.
I happen to be a chef, not professionally, but I cook every night and I love to create. And I guess this is getting your children involved in the art of appreciating food.
You know what? It's a lot trickier than one might think, but it's really not. At the end of the day, it's just kind of having a game plan and just not just resting on just your laurels of cheese, mac and cheese, nuts and cheese pizza. And I feel like it's time, especially in this day and age, we're all introduced to such a diverse array of food out there. Let's start them young and kind of create this foundation that's so much easier to build on. So you start them young. And I think my greatest tip for cooking with kids is, the best way to get them to try new things is to cook in the kitchen with you. When they help create something, even as small as like some carrots or a beautiful smoothie, they'll gain not only be more likely to try it, right? But they'll probably enjoy it more because they had a hand in creating it.
That's the whole thing. I mean, what bothers me more than anything are adults who say, "I don't know how to cook. I don't. We order out a lot. I don't know how to cook." It's like, how can you even say those words? How does that even make sense?
There's too much information out there. I mean, not just our, my show on the Food Network or. I mean, you go on the web, you go to any social media page or website out there, you can easily step-by-step process on how to make... I mean, listen, there's even services now that literally package
in
a box with a tablespoon of vinegar in a packet and a little salt in it. So you can even be... so there is. This is the world we live in, and we got to start it with the kids so they grow up and then eventually, obviously, cook for us when we're invalids in a home. A chair.
That's the real that's the real purpose there, isn't it?
Exactly. Someone's got to take care of us.
Someone's got to do that. Okay. Now, I guess one of the tricks is to introduce ingredients the kids already love. So let's talk about some ideas that would incorporate what the kids eat or drink every day anyway.
Well, I think start the day off right. You can't go wrong with a nice balanced smoothie. Now, kids already love juice, and I've partnered with Juicy Juice, 100% juice here, to build some great recipes that you'll love, your kids love, and that are very healthy for them. And there's no better way than a nice smoothie, starting with high-protein yogurt, like a Greek yogurt, yeah. Fresh fruit, that juicy juice, 100% juice, like something that they've never had before, like a kiwi strawberry or a white grape, something that is familiar but also new, right? And, you know, throw a couple tablespoons of kale in there, believe it or not, which really doesn't change the flavor profile, but gives them their fiber and the minerals they need. And you send them off to school. It's quick. The cleanup's easy. You're not lighting the stove up. Yeah. And your kid is, like, ready to, you know, the kid's going to squat 150 pounds if he's in third grade because he's so fortified. Wow. Kids get strongest kid, and mentally, too. He'll be able to absorb.
Okay. All right. Perhaps you're carrying this a little too far.
Yeah, okay.
All right. But I get the idea. It also lends to creativity. Isn't cooking like a form of an art form? It's a creative form as well. Unless you're baking, that's a science. I'm not into that. But,
for sure.
Yeah, but I think that's good for a kid to learn to put this taste, this flavor together with this taste and flavor, and then I think that's fun.
Yeah, and it's like you add salt to this because it amplifies flavor, and don't be afraid of like cracked black pepper on a chicken breast, you know? And my son's like, oh, is that going to be supposed to... I go, no, literally, it opens up the taste buds on your tongue so you can receive more flavor when you're eating. You know, it's like, there's a science element, there's a practical, part of this, and show me how you crack that pepper on there, and then they get to take the pepper mill or a pinch of pepper. You know, it's like, there is a science, but the art form is, how do you take this kind of just array of ingredients and you make it into something final at the end, this beautiful, composed piece of art on the canvas, which is the plate, And it's like finger painting or playing with Play-Doh or whatever,
You know, it's funny, when I was growing up, my mother used to give me the plate, and I would bring the plate to the dinner table, and I felt like I was presenting the dinner. Now I felt like I had a hand in it, and all I did was just bring it over to the table. But I was part of this now, and I was a delivery boy. It kind of worked psychologically. Even that worked.
Yeah, for sure, because you are. You take control over it, right? You're like a leader almost, and you establish a connection not only by making and creating and cooking and tasting, but presenting, and then everybody oohs and ahs, hopefully, right? And that's another great tip for these kids, like, have them plate.
Yes.
We watch Top Chef together with my kid. We watch Food Network. I study my show, The Kitchen, on Food Network, like game film. So he's a part of this, and he sees how you could plate fancy now. And that's a fun way to kind of, put another element of fun into the process.
Yeah.
Just let's make a big high stack of something that looks fancy and you could charge a lot of money for.
There you go. There you go.
So it's all about the buck, right?
It is about, I've learned that, unfortunately. But, great information. How do I get more information about this?
Well, check out juicyjuice.com/flavorfulfun to get all my recipes for the smoothie operator, great pulled pork recipe, a couple other drink recipes, which you'll love. Also, follow me on social media at Jeff Morrow to see what I'm cooking and what I'm up to. And, it's great, man.
It's all good, man.
Great.
I love chefs because they produce my favorite entity in the world, which is food.
You gotta have it.
You know what they say, the most depressing time is after you eat a meal, because it's the longest time until the next meal. It's the longest waiting period.
Okay. Or you overate per usual.
Right.
Then you're usually, in a dark room crying.
That's
a whole nother story.
Another thing. Thanks so much for your time today, Jeff.
You have a good afternoon. Keep
Take
warm
care.
Out there.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, we are out of time for today. Look, you've sat through this, and you're really something. You should be in the Olympics of sitting through stuff, really. You're an Olympic sitting through stuff person. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye. Bye. Go away.